12, we're going to spend some time in there as well as one verse, a few verses in Colossians chapter 1. And as I prayed about what to talk about on Palm Sunday, this word preeminence came to mind. And it's only found one time in the Bible, and it's in Colossians 1:18. And we'll get there in a few minutes, actually probably like 10 minutes. But the word preeminence, it's comes with words, and these are important. They mean authority, command, control, domination, influence, power, rule, sovereignty, supremacy, sway, and upper hand. It's a big word. And it's pretty hard to spell until you look at it a lot. But the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary says it's a superiority in excellence, distinction in something commendable. It's eloquent. It's a precedent, priority of place, superiority in rank or dignity. It's a word that elevates. It's superior. Think of this power of influence when you hear that word, preeminence. I mean, when you hear the word, you automatically think, well, I'm going to be blessed, or I'm going to be in the presence of something special. Something good is going to happen. And it's interesting, in this definition in the 1828 Webster, there was this one sentence. It said, above life's weakness and its comforts too. And I thought of the cross. It's Christ. Think of this. Above life's weakness and its comforts too. You know, when you think of the cross, you really don't think of that. But when that's what Jesus does. It was above the comfort of life and its weaknesses. He was giving us strength through everything. So I thought that was interesting that that sentence was in there. And preeminence, that word, it caught my eye regarding what took place on Palm Sunday. And it's the correct recognition of the multitudes of who Jesus said he was. You know, before then, he would tell people when he did miracles and things, don't tell people what I did. Don't let them really know what's going on. But now as he entered as the King of Kings, according to Zechariah 9:9, which was predicted 450-500 years before that, he entered the exact day that Daniel predicted back in Daniel chapter 9. And that was 1,000 years before this took place, the exact day that Daniel predicted Jesus entered Jerusalem. So it wasn't a mistake. But the thing that took place that the people missed is they didn't see the substance of who he exactly was. They didn't take the was to who he is. And that's what we're going to look at today, what preeminence means. It gives us that substance of who Jesus is. Was he salvation entering in? Absolutely. But not as those thought or desired. He gave us the best way, and the best way is through experience and actual life. It was the absolute truth of who he was and all that came with him. He was taking from who people said he was to who he actually is. So Palm Sunday screams preeminence. That's when we see Jesus. The palm branches, the people are going crazy. You have to realize on Palm Sunday, when people were waving their palm branches, it wasn't just like, hey, we don't have anything to wave. Let's go hack these trees to pieces and wave whatever we find. It was an actual symbol of victory. And a lot of the revolts that took place at that time took place at Passover. So the Romans were very edgy. They thought there was going to be some kind of rebellion or revolt. So they were on edge. They knew something big was happening. The Pharisees, what did they want to do? They wanted to kill him. And actually, by the end of the week, it took place. But in that came the victory. So let's take some time to pray before we start looking at this word preeminence and what it exactly means to us as Christians. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this time. How we're able to celebrate in our building that we've had so many years. And we just praise you, Lord, for the people you gave the vision to years ago to put this place on the map for you and your glory, that we may remember years later who you are and what you will do. So strengthen us, encourage us, give us the visions, Lord, of what you want to do in our lives. And above all, let us give you your proper place in all this. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So what, who, where rode into Jerusalem on a pony that Palm Sunday cannot be put or explained away. Palm Sunday is not the coloring of eggs, although we do that. It's not the getting of chocolate bunnies, although that's always a good thing. Or consuming large quantities of jelly beans, which is even a better thing. It is the fullness under fulfillment and the obedience that is commanded. You have to remember that, obedience that is commanded. That's what Jesus, when we look at what Palm Sunday was and what it is, there's a lot going on. Palm Sunday was the anticipated, very celebrated, unbelievable, extremely tense time in the history of the world. The masses saw the King of Kings, knew something about him. They knew something about him. I mean, the miracles that Jesus did for 3 years, everybody knew what was going on. Yet it was mere surface knowledge, and it was, as Job said, these are the mere edges of his ways. It was much more than a man taking a pony ride. It really was. It was the revealing of what we need to do as Christians and how worthy it is to follow Christ. And it simply must be lived and experienced to be understood. The more I live on this earth on my way home, the more convinced I am that Jesus keeps us here so we learn exactly who he is and how much he means to us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in accordance to his ways. It's his influence and power that show that to us. Your purpose is to honor God and light the world.
Amen.
I mean, I pray that with Easter coming up, you invite as many people as you can to church. Invite them. And people might say, well, I don't want to be the person, because we heard this yesterday, I don't want to be the person that just shows up on Easter. Well, why not? Show up the next week and show you just didn't come here to get the food that we served beforehand. But if you want to, I mean, why not? You know, invite people. Say, hey, we have some food, and if, you know, it's not that great and you get a stomach ache, you freak it afterwards, you can leave. But invite them, guys. This is the way, you know, Palm Sunday was an invitation. Jesus was riding in. He knew what was going to take place. People had no idea, but it was an invitation. It was a fulfillment. And a lot of people knew what was going on and what he was doing. Experience, Theodore Levitt from Harvard Business School said, comes from what we have done. Wisdom comes from what we have done badly. And what man has done badly is to live outside of God.
Amen.
We've done that very badly. Creating our own preeminence or path. And what happened to all is sin. Now everyone has a choice to make about what to do with it. Huxley said, experience is not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you. I'm sure we all hear that quite a bit. You know, we can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose what we do with that. In sin, you can't redefine the term. It's to miss the mark, and we're all born sinners. In rejection of God, or to accept him only on your terms, is foolishness. Because to do so places you in a spiritual torment and provides the habit of replacing good for evil and the ability for the habit or neglect to become prideful. And there is no reasonable alternative to Jesus. Search it out. There's no reasonable alternative to him. The world is not so much anti-God. Think of this. To me, the world isn't so much anti-God as its little or limited view of God. Because the atheists have to recognize that there is a God and reject a God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be such a word as atheism. So it's not so much anti-God. Even in the church, even when people saw Christ riding in on Palm Sunday, it was this little or limited view of who God was. And it was neglecting his intentions and replacing them with their own desires. Because what did they want? They wanted the conquering king to conquer the Roman Empire, not to conquer their own spiritual faults. So hearing, you must obey, and that's what Jesus said, you know. Hearing and knowing, you have to obey, as rejection of his will only leads to personal torment and produces a kind of quiet desperation, which God never intended. God didn't create us to live in desperation. He knew apart from him, that was the only result. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we get desperate, we get tense. We just like, I just don't know what's going on with all these things, and believe me, I'm there a lot, almost every day. And I'm like, Lord, I know you're in charge. I've got to give it to you. because you can take those desperate moments away from me. Because I know we don't want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with them. So the entirety of who Jesus is rode into Jerusalem that day. So much seen, much more missed. It was complete acceptance of who God was in person of Jesus. The complete acceptance of who God was in the person of Jesus, that wasn't required on Palm Sunday. He didn't expect the people to make that connection on Palm Sunday. It was commitment to who he was and who he is. That's what he wanted the people to do. And preeminence makes the demand to change. Preeminence of lifting up means you need to make a change. Now, preeminence through seeing and believing and living and breathing, it's a continual process. It's that word we learned on today. It was provisional, what? You have to help me out in this Sunday school.
Positional sanctification. Progressional.
That's it. Progressional sanctification thing. I knew one of us was paying. I knew together as a group we would put it together. That's why I like to write things down. Or put them on my phone, but I turn my phone off so nobody calls me during service. So it's this progressional sanctification. It's this growing with God that we put things together. It's a continual process, yet absolute reliance on the entirety of his being. In John chapter 12, I'm going to read John chapter 12 about the triumphal entry. It says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And listen to this, verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, that means when he ascended into heaven, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that he had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. With the privilege Palm Sunday offered, powered by his preeminence, comes responsibility. Okay? That's why I like to tell kids, well, you have another birthday. That means you're becoming, you have to become more responsible now. With age comes responsibility. With knowledge of Christ comes responsibility, but not without direction. Because it allows your faith to make sense from Palm Sunday all the way and through to the cross. That's what it does. Verse 16, remember, it said, not until Jesus was glorified did they see his substance. Your faith has to be logical off the mountain as well as on. Because God made us for the valleys. So it has to make sense to you. It allows you to live in a sin-afflicted world without falling. That's what knowledge of Christ in a relationship does. If you have the wrong view of who Jesus is, I like to say, like I told the guys in the jail, I always practice some of my sermons on Thursday so I can kind of iron them out. You have a two-dimensional or flat view of who God is. There's no substance to it. You know, it's almost like Flat Stanley, if you ever did that. Yeah, I did that, you know. It's kind of a Flat Stanley Jesus. That's all you get out of him. He travels with you, but that's it. There's nothing to him. There's nothing of substance. There's nothing that'll help you. And your experience in life will be misappropriated because of that. All that happens will be viewed and taken wrongly. Your actions and intentions will be based entirely upon something that is not. That's when we don't have a great relationship or a good one with God, our relationships with other people are going to be the same way. Okay? If you're finding you're drifting from God and you're dealing with anger or forgiveness, look at your relationship with God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look at it. The people knew something about Jesus. They knew he was the miracle worker, the prophet, the judge, the king. All correct. But they missed the importance and the depth of him. And how did they do that? Because they were temporarily satisfied by what they saw. They went from that praising and worshiping, and then when they realized it wasn't what they wanted, after that, they rejected him and drifted away. You know, I have no problem with raising my hand. I just can't do it a lot because of my bad shoulders, okay? You guys can do it. I can't hold it up there long. You know, a lot of times I'm back here like, oh, he's really nervous because he moves a lot. That's because my knee hurts and then I have to go to the other one. And Wednesday I hurt my foot, my ankle playing basketball. So now I'm back here kind of doing this on it. I was playing basketball in hiking boots with the kids. So. I didn't roll it. I don't know what I did to it. I was just doing something. Probably I should have. But, you know, it's, guys, you have to have a right relationship. You can't say, God, this is what I want of you. You can say, Lord, I really desire this. You know, if he's laid something on your heart, chances are he'll give it to you. But nearness is not greatness until it's integrated into your life. You know, we all like that when you said, I got to shake somebody's hand. I was near him. I got to shake Cole Paul's hand once. I thought that was cool. Of course, you got to get shaken down by the security guards and the Secret Service and everything. But you know what? Nearness isn't greatness. Just because I was near him doesn't make me any better than that. What? I can just say, I was by Colin Powell. You know, I saw, you know, so-and-so speaker. You're at a basketball game. Celebrating and raising your hands, you know, it's like being a fan at a game. You just can't be a fan and then let it pass. You have to be a follower. I think they wrote a book about that I never finished. But there's no desire to live under his authority without complete reliance on him. Verse 16, remember, it says, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, as I was reading through the Bible, a verse that I've read before that I never noticed. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it.
Amen.
I just love that. It's very near you. Amen. In your heart, that you may do it. God rode into Jerusalem in accordance with the scriptures, eyes to see and hearts to hold. Luke 10, I'll read it to you. Luke 10, verses 23, 24 in the Amplified. It says, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said privately, blessed, joyfully and spiritually enlightened and favored by God are the eyes which see what you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings long to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Palm Sunday is that truth, that preeminence of Christ. It's seeing those things that we long to see, and to be joyfully and spiritually enlightened and favored by God. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The only time this word preeminence is found in the entire Bible. I'm going to read the Amplified version because it really brings it out. The Greek, before we get there, the Greek word is proteo or protos, meaning foremost in time, in order, or importance. And that's the power, the growth, and the will to live from the beginning to the end. Now, Colossians 1:18 says, he is also the head, the life source, and leader of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. And it says in the Amplified, he will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. In everything. Guys, the cross is the reconciler. Jesus set the path to get there as well as a position of the traveler to maintain. On our way to the cross, there's things we have to do to maintain who Jesus is. To grasp the fullness, the first place of Christ in everything. To stand supreme. To walk in meaning and truth. And to not only understand, but live through experience what God desires in your life. I mean, don't you want to live and do what God wants?
Amen.
I mean, we all want to do what we want. But to do what God wants is something special. And sometimes not very easy. It's not haphazard, your life, and put together in the last minute. In everything, the sum total of his essence through him. God has ordered from the beginning of time, and Jesus' course was always set. He knew what was going to take place, yet he had to walk it, live it, and reveal through the actions in complete obedience to the will of the Father. Now, the people correctly comprehended the entrance, never realizing where it would lead and all it did encompass. You know, if you would look at your life and say, oh, let's see, what is the year now? 2017, go back 10 years. Some of you can't because you might not remember how long ago that was. Of course, some of us can, and we might not remember how long ago that was. But if you would look back 10 years, I left Wisconsin in 2006. So, if I would look back to that time to up here, and God would reveal it all to me, and he said, do you want to do this? I would say, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, I want to do that. I'd look at it, and I'd say, well, if it involves this and that, if you take those out, I'd like to negotiate those sections, Lord. But it's not that. It's the totality. It's the entrance, and it's the walk, the progression, all the way to the cross. It's how he works out his sanctification. It's not who we want him to be, it's who he is and all that it entails along the way. And realize that Paul wrote the epistle of Colossians through experience. Paul, remember what happened to Paul before? He was the Hebrew of Hebrew, the Jews of the Jews. He was brought up under one of the best rabbis of the time, Gamaliel. And he persecuted, he killed other Christians, a lot of them. And then he got knocked off his horse in Acts chapter 9. And God converted him, peeled the scales from his eyes, and he was more zealous for Christ than probably anybody who's ever walked the planet. He was very educated, but it wasn't until he lived Christ that he didn't comprehend his preeminence. Since you're in Colossians, look over to verses 9 through 14, because these encompass who Jesus is and the importance of comprehending and elevating. This is Paul's prayer through life and experience and how he's lifting up God for other people and himself. It says, for this reason, and I'm reading the Amplified because I like it because it stretches out some important points. Since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And that Greek word means the precise, correct knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes and an understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. To fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clear insight, and fervent love for his precepts. We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power, according to his glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of all the saints, God's people in the light. Paul's prayer for the church is that other Christians would be rooted in who God was, that they would be able to behold the totality of the entrance, and they wouldn't lose the vigor for him. That they would see it. He didn't want them to be those people that came on Easter and Christmas, okay? He wanted to be the people that came to him every single day for the preeminence, for the lifting up. And it's not what he personally thought or others did, but it was the combination of the scripture and reality of living, and that's what makes God essential and certain. It's living and understanding who he is and relying on him. And that will keep him at the forefront of your life when all seems to try and replace or misplace him. The biggest lie Satan wants you to believe is that he doesn't exist, okay? Because it steals God's substance and it places his preeminence. If you follow God, his will in your life, you might say, well, I don't do anything, you know. I only pray at church. I'm not the pastor, so I'm not that important. Guys, if we're part of the body of Christ, we're all important.
Amen.
If you follow God, the big footprint you leave in his name can't be denied.
Amen.
And that's the importance of your witness. We all have a witness. We all have a story to tell. And people can't deny that. So leave that big footprint for people to see. You know, leave it. You know, people are enthralled by fossils. You know, leave an imprint on somebody's life so they can affect other people's life. Elizabeth Elliot said, God will not protect you from anything that will make you more like Jesus. That's a hard one to take. Life is hard. Apart from Jesus Christ, it will be extremely difficult. It's because that the soul is never satisfied, because it never receives anything but the commands it doesn't desire. The answers you place into it may be reasonable to you, although it was rejected outright by what matters. You may try to feed false information to your soul, but it'll never accept it. It never will. You don't get into heaven on a sliding scale of good works or a God created in your image. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. John 15:11, from the lips of Jesus Himself, He says, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be full and complete and overflowing. I love that. He's like, I'm not just going to give you guys a little bit. I want to give it so you it's overflowing. And that's the God we serve. Sometimes you may see that the glass is only half full. I'm like an overflowing kind of guy. You know, it's like if there's a drop in there, I'm like, I got something in my cup. I have a chance, you know. Just give me a chance. You know, and God says, I've given you the chance. I've done everything for you. Just live for me and with me. And the more of the Bible I read, it seems like the less I know. Is that a bad thing? No, because the more I have of Him, the less I possess of myself. It's kind of like the pouring in of the good, and the bad just kind of comes out. It's good to celebrate Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, Christmas, because it's a reminder and reset buttons for the foundation of truths in Christ and where you are in life. Sometimes we need that. People say, well, I can't. If I hear this one more time, I think I'm going to scream. I'm going to move because I need to find myself. Yeah, you're just going to find yourself. That's the thing you're probably trying to get away from. You need to find Jesus, you know, and then everything else will fall into place. But these times of the year are reset buttons. They're like, Lord, I've missed you the last month. I've missed you the last week. I've kind of drifted. Come back to Him. If you haven't been reading the Bible through the year with us, just pick it up and start today. We're starting in the book of Joshua in a day or two, and we're in the middle of Luke. So, I mean, and it's amazing as a body as we do this, the things that are happening, the attacks that are happening. You know, it's there. It's there, so keep that in prayer. But we need to avoid the paths that can lead to destruction. I love these visuals we have up here. I was going to put my palm branch up, but I didn't do it in time. You know, the crown, the 10, we'll put the palm branch up there. And we're going to get some spikes to put over here just to remind us what we can do and to tell the kids if they don't behave, we're going to take care of them. No, well, I don't think we should do that. Okay. I hit my side right there. That's what that did. I just needed that thundering right for effect. But you know what? It's these visuals. And visuals are great. But guys, visuals aren't going to carry you very far. You know? That's like, I like sports. And the Bucks made the playoffs. They're my team. They're a horrible team. They haven't won a championship since 1971. And I was looking at them like, the only time they've ever won one. So I was looking at the championship emblem they had in 1971. The other day, on my phone, I was looking at it on the phone. And so what? There's a visual. Happened a long time ago. But guys, we need more than a visual. We need the substance. We need to say God is preeminent. He's important. Because in the Garden of Eden, Satan told Eve, she said, you know, did God not say, you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The problem is, once they involved grasping the secret of evil, it utterly destroyed him from within. Now man is not able to be completely good and resist evil. And that's the battle we all fight. And God never intended. You know, Palm Sunday was fanfare, newness. It was extreme excitement that comes with many things. And even though these tend to come and go quickly, God never intended His Son to be a footnote in the history of the world. Alan Redpath said, if you ever come across any of this stuff, a lot of people don't know about Alan Redpath. The guy writes some really good stuff. And he said, the cornerstone of the soul is the miracle of a movement, a moment, I can't read my writing. The manufacture of a saint is the work of a lifetime. A moment or a lifetime. What would you rather, live in a moment or have the work of a lifetime? I'd rather the work of a lifetime. I can do a whole lot more than I can in a moment. It takes effort to deny God's existence and a great effort to cover it up. Life can be very a cruel schoolmaster, as it would like you to believe you can get by on the next best thing, quote, saying or event by posting it on the internet. But they'll never feed your soul, and they only offer cheap imitations and substitutes. What took place on Palm Sunday was part of God's process that involved Jesus and all believers. It was huge. It was awesome. By all appearances, the King had come. I'm just going to share some couple of things from one of the devotionals I looked at on the history of Palm Sunday. It said, on that first Palm Sunday, the people also honored Jesus verbally. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that's from Matthew 21. Now from Psalm 118:25, the people knew the praise of Jesus was an acknowledgement of prophecy of Christ. The allusion to a messianic psalm drew resentment from the religious leaders present, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples, which we already read. However, Jesus saw no need to rebuke those who told the truth. He replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Some 450 to 500 years prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event we now call Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9:9. As Jerusalem welcomed their king, unfortunately, the celebration was not to last. And here's some important words for us and for them. The crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally. But Jesus had come to save them spiritually. First things first, and mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or... I need a drink of water. My throat's getting really dry. First things first, and mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national salvation. Guys, our greatest need is spiritual.
Amen.
When you see the people in the world that don't know Christ, look at them through spiritual eyes.
Amen. Amen.
And just the destitution and hurt that they're going through. Preeminence, even as preeminence was missed. As the coatless multitudes waved the palm branches and shouted for joy, the true reason for Jesus' presence, they could neither see nor understand the cross. That's what they missed. Were they expected to see that? I don't think so. God wanted them to recognize who he was and then accept everything else that fell in place after that. But that's not what happened. That's why as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You know, within 40 years, the city of Jerusalem would be leveled. A million people would be dead. A million. Just because they didn't recognize. Were there some Christians in there? Oh, I'm sure there were plenty. But you know what? They went to heaven. The others didn't. That's why Jesus wept. It's a tragic thing to see the Savior but not recognize him for who he is. The crowds were crying out, Hosanna on Palm Sunday, and they were later crying out, crucify him later that week. The kingdom was now for later. The conquering would be accomplished in a much different way, a completely varied plan than all thought. Think of those times. Just think if you go back those 10 years and just look at, go back 5 years, go back 1 year and see how God's worked in your life. And the things he's done. Chelsea and Earl got a baby in the last year. It's a big work in a life. It's a major change. I remember when we had Eliza and I looked at Tammy and I said, what did we ever do with all the time we once had? She said, anything we wanted to. But you know, it's the best thing. But there's the sacrifice, but you don't think of it as that. And that's what Jesus says. He goes, guys, it's not about, it is about following these tens, but you're not giving anything up. You're gaining 1,000 things. It's about the crown. Will your life hurt? Yeah, but look at what I did. Look at what I did.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes the things that we have to go through, if we live, what, 50, I've lived more than 50, so I mean 60, 70, 80 years, 90, that's a short time compared to eternity.
Amen.
And the things we get to do and we're allowed to do, you know, we're coming at the end of a Wednesday, our Wednesday night program, by the end of this month. And most of us that are involved with it are like, good, because it's a lot of work, it's a lot of effort, it's a big commitment. But the things you get to do, the impact you get to have on the kids, just talking to them, fellowshipping with them, correcting them, you know, hey, it's worth it. It's an opportunity that doesn't happen very often, and God's given us the opportunity to do, I don't know, 30 some years. And we'll, hopefully we'll do it again next year. I can say that with a lot of joy right now. It's like, yep, next year. And all of a sudden it's like August. Oh, that's September. October's coming. We have to do it all again. But Jesus says, you know, it's Palm Sunday. You don't have to do it all again. Just remember who, not I was, but who I am and the preeminence. Which that word, you know, think of this, just a couple things before we wrap up. The initial recognition of God is essential to arrest the soul and cause repentance. Although that's the end of you realizing all of Him. And the thought is, Jesus didn't come to earth to make bad people good. He came to earth to make dead people live. You know, He didn't say, I'm going to make good people or bad people good. He says, I'm going to make the dead people, called apart from Him, we're all dead spiritually, live. This word preeminence in the Greek, one more time, think of this, to be first, to hold the first and only place. To be first, that's what it means, the first and only place. That means it's Jesus, like, you know, the track meet yesterday, there's tons of people running races. It's like Jesus is running the race, He's the only one running first place, because He's the only one. He's the only one, because He's the only one that matters. He's the only one in everything. Jesus was establishing God's eternal kingdom. Palm Sunday was the finding, holding, carrying that chief cornerstone. Remember, we looked at that word cornerstone a couple weeks ago. It means the stone that was not only hewn, but God had to work the edges. It was a work stone, the cornerstone. And that's what God's doing in our lives. Jesus came in as the king, the preeminent, but it was a work stone, like we all are. We're work in progress. That's what I meant to say. So Palm Sunday was the view of the living hope. And as we get to next Sunday, we're going to look at how He goes from the was to the is, and it's all done in the walk that He requires of us. It's that walk that we learn who He is in our lives as we travel this earth with Him. So just remember that, the view of the living hope and the complete recognition of who He is as we walk with Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this Palm Sunday. I thank You for remembering what all took place. Just our limited knowledge, Lord, because we weren't there, but You give us a view of what took place. And You were there. So let us always give You proper place in our lives, that first order, the first and only place, that lifting up, Lord. That adoration, Your authority, Your command, and Lord, the great thing about all of it is it comes with Your love.
Amen.
So continue to grow us, strengthen us. Lord, just let us, as we walk through this week with You, just always remember what took place, Lord. And the end result, which wasn't the end at all, it was the beginning. So Lord, we thank You. Strengthen us and always encourage us in You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's. One more song? One more. One more. Always one more.